Okay, you're listening to Across the Border, and today we're going through the Gospel according to Mark. I've got all the way to chapter 3 and verse 1, so if you got your e-sword, you can open it up. You got your Bible, you can open that up. If you don't have those, well, just listen and ponder the things that are being said, and perhaps you can check some of them out later if you can take down notes. Everyone is welcome to listen to this program. It costs absolutely nothing. You can listen to it live on the air when it's being broadcast for the first time. Soon enough, it will be uploaded to my website at crosstheborder.org, where anyone at any time at no cost can download any program there. You'll see categories, entire books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and so on. You can download these, download them to your iPod, take them to work, whatever you need to do, put them on disk, and listen to them on demand anytime you please. And it doesn't matter what you're listening to. If you have a comment about anything, because given the occasion, when I finish the entire scripture on this round, I will probably go around again. Because it seems that's what the Heavenly Father has called me to do, just sit here and go through His Word book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and let the Holy Spirit move on me and move my lips. And sometimes it's me, too, that gets to comment. But I hope that everyone is being edified. I don't want to water it down or leave anything out or add anything to it, really, to the Word of God, that is. Just try to discern what is being said and try to make some application for life. To be honest, more for me than for you. I need to be in God's Word every day. I'm that kind of man. I love His Word, and I enjoy being in it every day as I can. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to sit here, and that others might be edified, that others may come to the knowledge of truth by sharing this time with me. Well, that's just a wonderful benefit, and I give God all the glory for that. And one of these days I'll find out, I'm sure, in the resurrection, just what kind of effect I've had. Until then, I'll leave the results up to Him. My duty, my job in life, as all of our job in life, is to live our life in a way that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father because we love Him. It was some 25 or so years ago, after being adopted by the Heavenly Father at the ripe age of 19 years old, and that wasn't 20, that preceded 25 years ago, and walking with the Heavenly Father, or walking with the Bible, reading the Bible, trying to live as a Christian for so many years, it took me a number of years before I figured something out. And the thing I figured out was that, I had been taught that the law of God was nothing, because I was going to corporate churches and listening to corporate radio minister preachers on the radio, but I was doing something else too. I was reading the Bible for myself. And it was what we were talking about before we went to the break, about loving God. And that's what I'm going to talk a little bit more about right now, because I believe that's the most important thing that I may have to contribute, is an admonition to love God. And it's something we can't force ourselves to do. But there was a time in my life, some 25 years ago or so, however long it's been now, I can't really remember, but that would approximate it, where I just, one day I was reading that passage of scriptures where the Messiah was being questioned on what is the greatest commandment. And he said, of course, the great commandment is to love God and then to love your neighbors yourself. Most people focus on the loving the neighbors themselves, and that justifies everything because they get to love their neighbor the way they want to. We discussed that a little bit. But it dawned on me when I read that some 25 years ago, the thought crossed my mind, and I couldn't let go of it. And I said to myself, the stark reality became so clear to me. I don't love God. I've been a Christian for many years. I don't love God. That was the conclusion I came to. And I said to myself, I don't even know how to love God. I mean, if anyone asked me, do you love God? I would have said yes, but, you know, and perhaps I did, but I just didn't know how, or I didn't know that I loved him. And I had the right feelings. I was reading the word. I was pursuing things, but I thought, I don't really know how to love God. How does God want me to love him? So I started to pray. I said, teach me. That was my new prayer from 25 years ago. It was around 85. So I guess that's, 25 years ago or so. And I began to pray a prayer that I never prayed in my life before that. I prayed, teach me how to love you. Because it just dawned on me that perhaps I didn't love God. I read that and I took it seriously. I guess serious for the first time in my life. And I prayed. I said, teach me how to love you. Teach me how to love you. I had come to the conclusion that I didn't know how. And that really changed everything for me. That changed my whole life because he answered that prayer. And when I learned how to love him, when he taught me how to love him, that's when I began to love him. Before that, perhaps I was trying to love God in my own way, the way that I thought love should be or something. It's hard to relate or think about what I thought before that. But I know that was a turning point in my life where I came to that realization and I prayed for the first time in my life, Heavenly Father, teach me how to love you. And I've shared some of that with you. The result, the answers to that prayer is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. I found the answer in his word and in his law. And he showed me his law and he said, these are the things that please me. Do you want to love me? Then do the things that please me. So I started looking to his law, contrary to what I had been taught in the corporate church. The law is dead, it's nailed to the cross, and it's a heavy burden, and we don't have to do those things. And so we were free to sin and be Christians, because Jesus died for our sins. Well, you know what? I know that to be forgiven, you have to repent. And I learned what it means to repent. It wasn't just saying magic words. It became more than words. It became more than rhetoric. It became a reality, changing my mind, changing my life, realizing that even though I was doing things that were not pleasing him, there was no way I could stop without crying out to him. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I said, teach me how to love you. And he heard my voice, and he answered me. And he showed me his law and his word. And he said, this is what pleases me. I wrote it all down in a book so that if someone wanted to know what pleases me, they could find out by reading it. The intent of your heart. Do you truly desire to live a life that's pleasing to him? And there's only one motivation for that. That is if you love him. And if you don't love him, you don't know how to love him, you're not sure if you love him, ask him to teach you. He doesn't withhold from those who ask. You know, Yahshua drew the illustration. Which of you having a child should ask him for bread? Will you give him a stone? He says the Heavenly Father loves you much more than you could ever love your child. When you ask him for something, he's going to give it to you. If you say, teach me how to love you, guess what? That's exactly what he wants to hear. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to teach you how to love him. And you know, when he teaches you how to love him, you learn, you love him. And then you love him more because you learn who he is, because you begin to see him for who he really is. Let's continue in Mark here. And he entered again, Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, into the synagogue. And there was a man there that had a withered hand. I've seen withered hands. That's fairly common. And, you know, you don't fake that either. Some people have arthritis so bad that their hand is just curled up and all of their knuckles have turned into knots and they just can't move them. You ever seen that? I'm sure it was probably a lot more, probably saw a lot more of it then than you do now. We've learned a lot about nutrition and how to prevent that. At least a lot of us have. I have anyway. I had arthritis. So let's see, 15 years ago, but I don't have it anymore. got rid of that nasty business. I remember that pain, and I'm going, something wrong here. And actually, I was very fortunate. I would call it an act of God that someone, I was working at the radio station over in Delano, California, doing my program, and then it was called Free Indeed. So I've been doing this a little while, and that was about 15 years ago. And someone came in, and they brought in a box of stuff. And the stuff was American longevity products. You know, the dead doctors don't lie guy. And they brought that stuff in there, and there was a month's supply of what they call the pig pack. And doesn't have pig in it. It's all plant derived. The doc used to be, Dr. Wallach used to be a veterinarian. And he said pigs don't get arthritis, so he'd call it the pig pack. And then he had the ferret fat pack because ferrets don't get fat. You get the gist. So it had nothing to do with pigs. But he'd call it a pig pack for people who have arthritis. You're supposed to, this is good. This is what you're missing in your diet. And so I took it home, and within 30 days, the arthritis that had been developing quite well, as a matter of fact, I resigned to it because people, you're about that age where the arthritis starts kicking in. So I thought, oh, that's just what happens to people when they get older. I accepted it. I didn't like it, but I accepted it as part of getting old. And I believe that's what a lot of people do, because I think somehow in a lot of ways that we're all alike in that way. So we just accept things and don't do anything about it. But, I got nothing to lose. They gave me a free month's supply. And, I took that, and I haven't had arthritis since. And I've been taking the products ever since, because I consider it part of my food budget. You know, we all have to buy food every month. None of us, have an aversion to buying the food that we need to eat for the month. So you have to think of the supplements as part of your food budget, because you need food to eat and stay healthy. And I needed this to eat and stay healthy, because I don't like pain very much. And it made the pain go away and reverse the arthritis. And I'm much older now. You know, that was 15 years ago when it was beginning. And so it works. So I've learned something. Speaking of arthritis and the withered hand. You see how you can apply the word of God to every area of life and learn something about it. And it has something to teach us. And I have something to share with a lot of people, because I think the scripture is true when it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And mostly that's because we reject knowledge. But it was hard to reject something like that when it was given to me free. And I've since then given many months' supplies away to people who had problems, and so that they would know there's something they can do about it if they want to. But most people are hooked on that insurance, and that's where the government wants you. So I would talk a little bit about the whole health insurance scheme that they got going today, that they want to get everyone hooked into. Insurance is a bane of the health of the American people, I'm going to tell you, because most people would rather go to their pharmacia, their witch doctor, and get prescribed some drug that's going to kill their liver. And of course, after then other problems crop up, and people don't know that it's the first drug that they took for the first problem that they had that made the other problems come. And the next thing you know, they've got a pharmacopoeia in their medicine chest at home, and the doctors are draining them dry, and the pharmaceutical companies are getting rich, and all because they would rather go to the doctor and use that insurance. Because you know what? The medical insurance won't pay for the supplements that'll keep you healthy. No way. So people go, well, I can't afford that because my insurance doesn't cover it. My insurance doesn't cover food either, and that's why you have to think of it as part of your food budget. But see, that's the way people think, in this convoluted way of thinking. You know, it's like the old wineskins and the old cloth, you know. They can't think in a new way, you know, because they've been brainwashed to think a certain way, and they can't think a new way. It'll rip to shreds their reality, you know, and their belief system and what they're holding on to. They need to let go. You know, put on a new garment. Stop trying to patch up the old one, you know. Get a new wineskin. You know, why should you be a leaky old bag? It reminds me of that Star Trek series where the alien says, ugly bags of water. That's how they described humans as, or people as, ugly bag of mostly water. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, but made me think of that. You know, get a new wineskin. Why should you be a leaky old one? There you go. So you just need to be able to accept things and change your ideas. And the whole insurance scheme thing, you know, I don't care what they do. I'm not a participant. And if you're a socialist and you got a socialist slave number and you don't get insurance, they're going to fine you just like they do in Massachusetts now. Massachusetts is the model for America. That's right. I got a listener here. He called and he said, they fined me, you know, because I don't have health insurance on my taxes. You know, you fill out your 1040 Inquisition form to your master every year. And what do you expect? I say repent. Stop taking part in those things. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. And it's not that Roman kingdom. We're over here in the clay, you know, and you're over there in the iron. You need to leave the iron. Come out from her, my people. Come out here and join us in the clay. Yeah, we may all get killed later on, but yeah, so what? We got forever. We know where we're going, and we know where they're going. So repent. The kingdom is at hand. You know, come out of the iron and get into the clay, man. It's, you know, it's where you belong with his people. So I reject the whole health insurance thing. Like I said, it's the bane of the health because people will rely on it. And they go, well, I can't, my insurance won't pay for it, so I can't do it. So they go to the witch doctor and they get the drugs, and which adds to more drugs. And like I said, the pharmacopoeia finally kills them. And all they've done is enrich their enemies. Yes, pharmakia. Sorcery. No wonder the scripture speaks against it. Look what it's done to our society, and look where they're using it to take the nation into even stronger fascism. The iron is becoming more and more prominent and trampling on more and more people. And this is how they get their power, by breaking God's law. Okay, we'll continue here. The guy with the withered hand. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now here's the lesson. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They knew the Messiah, didn't they? Oh, what a bad reputation. We know he's going to come in here and heal that man. And it's the Sabbath day. I think that tells you, well, it tells you everything about the Messiah and his reputation. They knew that wherever he went, he was going to heal people. Yeah, and that was a bad thing to them. But to me, that's kind of a good thing. You know, that's a positive, a fruitful thing. That's something we need to see, more healing in the land. But they wanted to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath day. So here we go with the Sabbath day again, and the legalists legally keeping the Sabbath. And that's something I really didn't get to, was like the Seventh-day Adventists who are legalists when it comes to the Sabbath. They got a lot of things right on prophecy, but that's one thing they do have wrong on prophecy too, is they believe that that Sunday is the mark of the beast. But it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the mark of the beast, because they're all the Pope's calendar. So they got it totally wrong. They got the wrong day. It's not Saturday. It's the Sabbath according to his calendar, and it's in his word. But they don't want to see it because they like their old wineskins too much. But they're old and dried out. They ran out of wine a long time ago. They need some new wine, and they need new wineskins. They can't get that new wine. It just leaks out. And that new cloth, it just rips their old garment, so they don't want it. Mm-mm. And they like that old garment too much. I think about garments. You know, when I find something I really like, you know, like a shirt or shoes or pants or something, I think, you know, used to think, man, I should have bought a couple of those. The price was right. They were closing them out, and I really like this shirt. So now I do that. When I go to the store and there's something and it's great and I know I like it, I may wear it for a few days and go, I really like this. I'll run back to the store to get a couple more, because, you know, I plan on sticking around for a while. So I know how you can become attached to something, But, you know, we really need to, when it comes to ideas in our minds, we need to be willing to let go, to examine everything we hold, and we need to allow it to be renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. That's how I got stuck in this whole thing I'm doing now. I shouldn't say stuck. I should say how I got unstuck from where I was, from the corporate church mentality and all of the futurist doctrines that they weave together by hopping and skipping and jumping through the scriptures to build these fantasies, which all sound very good when you're sitting in the pew and the preacher, the teacher's up there, the pastor's up there weaving this thing together, and you can't keep up with him, and he must know what he's talking about because I can't figure it out. I'm confused after he does a fourth or fifth hop, skip, and jump through the scripture. I'm going, well, yes, he must know what he's talking about. So I got into trouble by reading the Word of God for myself and allowing it to overturn all of the things that I was holding on to, that I was taught, that I believed in. I was willing to examine everything in the light of His Word. I was willing to allow my mind to be washed by the water of His Word. And that's how I got where I am today. And that's why I do what I do, because I want people to be washed by the water of His Word, to take the Word of God and apply it to every area of your life, to apply it. We are instructed to be circumspect. Now, circumspect means to be full circle. It means to apply the Word of God, to apply His law, the statutes, the judgments, to every area of our life. And I go back to the illustration. Just because the Word says don't muzzle the ox doesn't mean we can muzzle the donkey. If we're going to apply it circumspectly, we cannot muzzle anyone that's working hard. Whether it's a donkey, a man, a boy, a woman, whoever, everyone deserves the reward of their labor. Even the lowly ass that's treading out the corn. But anyway, back to, so they were watching him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Oh, he's going to break our rules. He's going to break the law. He's going to heal somebody on the Sabbath. He's going to pull an ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath. Don't go anywhere.